Luke chapter 21. And he looked up, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she hath. Men tend to look at generosity in terms of gross numbers. In terms of, why, he gave $1 million to charity. Now he has $1 billion, and $1 million represents less than 1%, a tenth of a percent to a billionaire. But someone on Social Security giving $100 or $150, when they only have like $1,000 a month, that's quite a gift. And so God looks at the proportion to every man according as it is given. As I've said many times, rich people are that way because they know how to hold on to money. That's what they know how to do. How to make money increase. And one of the ways you do not make money increase is by giving it away. Now, I know some prosperity preachers would argue with me and say that you give to get, and that godliness is a way of gain. In that sense, in the sense of gaining money, gaining wealth, gaining possessions. But true godliness is to have contentment. And that is a great gain. Because a man who is content has everything he needs. Everything he wants is provided to the content man. But the man who is discontent is never satisfied. And no matter how many millions of dollars he obtains, it's never quite enough. Someone told me, I forgot the name of one of the famous rich men of history, and they asked him, how much money do you need? And he said, just a little more. Because that's the nature of the wealthy. They desire to have. And it's their curse as well. The poor oftentimes feel cursed. But Jesus always said they were blessed. Because people fail to recognize what a barrier possessions and wealth are when approaching to God. Penury means lack. You know, she cast in all the living that she had. All that she had. However you want to interpret that, what it's saying is she gave her all. So what, is she going to starve? Maybe. Is she going to have a place to live? Maybe not. But there's something she wants more than she wants those two mites. Everything she has. There's something more. Something she sees as more needful. And therefore, the mites are given. And all these rich men are casting their gifts into the treasury. And this widow comes up and casts in two mites. And Jesus, knowing all the figures involved, how much he has, how much that one has, how much this one has, and how much she had. And seeing it as a percentage of the whole, he says, whoa, she cast it. Though you want to see the most impressive giver? The most impressive giver is that one there who cast in two pennies. Because that's all she had. I pray that I may also have that kind of faith. It's easy to give when you have a lot, so you think. But the proportion of your giving goes down. And this can be proved statistically. And in America, the biggest giving states are the poorest state in the country, which I think was Mississippi, is also the biggest giving state. As far as a percentage of their income, they give more than anyone else. If it wasn't that state, it was some other state. But I remember it was basically that way. The richest states were the least generous. And the poorest states were the most generous. You know, you have a bunch of poor people giving their most for those who are like them and have least. But you know what? The rich love to give to the rich. That's what I always say. Rich people love to give to rich people because they can get something back from them. And rich people love to get and love to have and possess. Not that the poor are incapable of covetousness. That's the problem with a lot of poor in our country, is that they are not content with such things as they have. And that's how we end up in debt and so on and so forth, because we got to have this, we got to have that. And then we find ourselves in debt because we want to be like the rich man. And really, when the world looks at us, we're all rich. But as a proportion of those that are rich, the poorest rich give the most as a portion of their income. And I speak of America. Verse 5, and some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And this is the beginning, again, of that same account of the end of the world, and also of the end of Jerusalem. Because that is what he first refers to. He says, the days are coming when these buildings, when the buildings of the temple will be thrown down. And my old teacher used to say that, well, there's still the Western Wall. They weren't thinking of the Western Wall. The Western Wall is just an exposed portion of the platform on which the temple used to sit. The temple buildings itself and the whole complex is completely gone. There's not one stone standing on another of those buildings that they were looking at. There were these beautiful stones. There were gifts adorning it. You know, things given. Gold and such. This prophecy closely parallels the one given in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Those accounts differing slightly. This account differs more because it is not given on the Mount of Olives. This account is actually given while he's still in the temple. And this account focuses more on the near fulfillment of his prophecy. It focuses on the fulfillment of Jerusalem being destroyed. That is the focus. What I'm trying to say is that in the Bible and prophecy, there's often a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. Like in Isaiah chapter 8, 9, 10, around there. I forget the exact place. It doesn't matter. You can look it up. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. That refers to the one whom the